listen to this track, bitch.
What's up, world?
What's good? What's up, world?
I got up way too early on a Saturday morning, but other than that, I got coffee now, so I'm good.
Oh, okay, okay, that's cool. Because who am I? I am Sky, I am Fly, I'm from the Southwest Atlanta, and I'm near the beach shores, because I'm not by the Southern California cabanas, because it's cold, and I'm blessed, and I'm in the Wild Wild West, and I'm with who?
It's cold as relative. What's up, world? It's your girl, Sills, PA all day, two up, two down, chilling here in the PNW where the sun is out and the snow is melting, so that's good. But yeah, other than that, I would rather be sleeping. I'm not gonna lie. But I'm excited,
okay,
so.
Okay. Yeah. Because who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning to moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
Oh, so what are we doing today? We got people. We got guests.
We have guests. We have our friends. It's a pretty exciting day here at Shea Butter FC. So today we're going to introduce you all to... can we tell them who's here?
Yeah, we go ahead. Go tell us. So, who's here?
So today we have members of the Rose Room Collective, and we also have the homie Devin here, you know, SBFC supporter, day one. All of y'all are day ones, but yeah, we have our friends and fellow Black soccer fans on the show.
Hey, so where are y'all from? Say hello to the people. Say hey.
Yeah, it's y'all's turn now.
Yeah, say hey, what's good?
What's up, world?
Hey, what's going
happy
on?
Happy to be here.
Hello, what's happening?
410 representing. Baltimore.
Right, let's go, Baltimore.
Y'all's gonna be like, can you say 2-2?
I was gonna make him do it! No!
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
I'm all DC native right here, so you know where I'm standing on that.
Oh. I was gonna make you say 2-2.
That's dead. That is dead.
Listen, I got nothing but love for Baltimore, though.
Nothing but love for you, shouting. Nothing but love.
I'm sorry, Baltimore. I can't say it like that. But yeah, Baltimore. I got it.
Hey, Riz, where are you at? Where are you located?
I am in Baltimore. I'm like right outside of the city.
Okay. All right, Baltimore outside the city. And that's what's up. So they gonna ride with us through the whole episode. We gonna do segments. We gonna go through things. So in segment one, we gonna do brown sugar, but soccer and Rose Room superlatives. We're gonna talk all things Rose Room Collective, and we're gonna see what made all these great people fall in love with a beautiful game, and then remember some beautiful moments.
Okay. And then we're gonna do SBFC Pimp My Squad supporter group edition, where we explore how black supporter groups can help shape and empower a fan base and change the city.
And then we're gonna get into some SBFC Get Your Fist Right. We're gonna explore Black culture. Black culture intersecting with soccer, and doing it especially what happened. See what that looks like in regards to the DMV on and off the pitch.
I think I might have some ideas of what might come up. Segment four, we're gonna talk about Shea Butter Freestyle. So exploring more about Rose Room Collective's initiatives on and off the pitch, and have some fun because y'all did a lot of dope work. And then we will end with our hits and riffs, your rants and raves of the week.
Yep, and shout outs. So yeah, get ready. So all right, we gonna get into it. So we gonna start off with segment uno numero dos. Uno, uno. Wow, you're doing a lot. All right. So let's get to it. So we got brown sugar but soccer. So all right. So you know the popular movie Brown Sugar with Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs. So instead of what made you fall in love with hip hop, when did y'all fall in love with soccer?
And anyone can go first. Up to y'all.
Anybody.
I'm going to kick it over to Doug. Let Doug kick it
off. All right.
So I was raised in a soccer-crazed household, so I kind of inherited it. My mother, so I'm El Salvadoran, have that whole background, and my whole family was soccer-crazy from well before I was born. And when they came to the U.S., there was nothing going on here until I think it was roughly, it was 1996 when DC United popped up. They did their thing. My mom is also actually a fan of the U.S. Women's National Team, so she also appreciated what they were doing. Okay. So that all kind of came together, and then they pulled me up from pretty much literally day one. That's how it happened on me, and I kind of kept that going.
All right. Love it. Who wants to go next?
Ladies go first, Rish.
Like, yeah, I'll go next. My household was never really like super into soccer, but I am the oldest in my family of two, and I started playing soccer when I was probably like in elementary school. So I kind of just grew up on soccer, and I somehow stumbled onto the women's national team, and it just kind of spiraled from there. But that's kind of how I got into soccer.
Okay. Love it. And brother Devin.
Yeah, it's really a crazy story. Just like Doug and Riss, my first real exposure to soccer. I'm just a big sports head in general. I grew up pretty much playing everything. So since I was such a sports head, like my family used to get me like Sports Illustrated for Kids at the time, because back in the 90s, yes, you know, that was magazines were a thing. There's any millennials out there.
Yes.
So that, and they used to write a lot about like the U.S. national team, men's and women. So that was my first real exposure to them. And then I happened to catch like the 98 World Cup. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. I guess honestly that's my first real exposure to soccer, and then it just kind of spiraled from there. We can get into more detail, you know, obviously, you know, Sills is a Chelsea fan, unfortunately.
Hey, you know, wow, I was just over here minding my business.
I love you so much. I didn't know how we were doing it, so, but I'm gonna keep it right there for now.
All right. Wow. Whew. Damn, I wasn't ready for shots in round one. All right.
Hey, wait, because, yeah, Devin's an Arsenal fan, if you didn't know.
Yeah. We make choices in life. It's fine. Terry Henry's a god.
It worked out for me at the time.
Terry Henry's a god, yeah. Y'all been suffering for that ever since, but that's all right. That's all right.
I'm currently in mourning for multiple reasons, but, you know, these things, they pass.
It gets better. Or you can be just a free agent. I'm just saying.
I mean, you could be Doug in a United fan right now. So it's rough out here. It's rough out here.
Why are you out here doing that? You ain't got to do that. I wouldn't even go and notice that either. We just out here just chilling.
I was just here minding my own business.
Now you know how
I bring up that shit.
Making sure everybody's awake, you know?
I'm going to say, if he got to feel bad, everybody got to feel bad. Let's go.
Trust me, I got plans. Devin and I are... It's bad. It's real bad.
Oh, yeah, that's what I say. Y'all talk shit like to each other.
Surprisingly, you know, not really. You know, I think we just both understand it's a bad time. It's kind of one of those things where you just kind of look at each other like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fair.
It's like, our team suck. It's whatever.
Hey, Doug, you can always be a free agent. You can love Manchester United from a distance like me. You just love it from a distance.
Kind of. Like, honestly, kind of low-key, that's already started to happen, because there's so many things I don't like about that team in its current state, and I would like to give a shout-out to my friend Jake Payne over at Blackfire. Christ. Oh, my brain is not all there today. Shout-out to them. He has kind of got me drifting towards FC Cologne that whole scene. And I have very much been enjoying it and enjoying Bundesliga.
Yeah.
So I will still follow United, still do that thing. But what he's done and what that whole scene is, they're a fun bunch. Yeah. And that's a really great team to follow. And it's definitely, like, that's a team that's been relegated recently. So it's very much not front running this time around.
Mm. That's real. Bundesliga is actually pretty fun. So I'm with you on that one. Watch other leagues, feel less pain. That's really what it is. EPL is here to make you suffer. But yeah, all right. So now we got that some of that pain out of the way. What got you all into A, rooting for the Spirit, And then what led to the creation of the Rose Room Collective? And you can explain to the people a bit about what that is as well.
Wait, what is like the soccer culture like in the
DMV? Oh, yeah. Thank you.
That part too. Yes.
For me, how I got into the spirit, I actually was not like I didn't know about the NWSL and then prior leagues. But my friend actually took me to a game when they were still playing at the Plex, RIP. we went to a couple games and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And she actually stopped going to games. But when they started playing at Audi last year, that's when I kind of like got into everything. And I actually went to the draft in 2020, and that's how I met the squadron. So that's kind of how me and Doug kind of met, and that kind of formed us into getting into Rose Room.
All right. Very, very cool. Doug or Devin?
I'll go because Doug's story is a lot more unique than mine. Essentially, as I said, just with Sports Illustrated for Kids, they actually, interestingly enough, talked about like the women's national team more than the men. So I knew a lot more about the women's national team than I did the men's at the time. And so that just kind of always stuck with me throughout all the years. I just always kind of paid attention to the women more because I got more familiar with them. And then I just, since I'm from Baltimore, I've just always been a local, sports head in general, just, with Maryland Terrapins and the Ravens, of course, just all things kind of Maryland. So, DC United and Spirit are my local team. So that just kind of, it was just meant to be.
All right, Doug, let's hear the story.
Yeah, mine's a little longer, but when it came to the spirit, I think I went to my first game in, I believe, 2017 over at the Soccerplex. I couldn't go there that often because I live in DC and I don't own a car. So getting out there is really difficult, but I did manage to go to one game back in, I believe it was 2017, and it helped that they played their first game in Audi in 2017. So that also piqued my interest. That was fun. And then once they made the move to Audi Field, I thought, okay, now I can really start getting invested into this team. They've kind of oscillated between really good and really terrible, but I thought, well, finally they're going to be here, actually accessible. So I thought, hey, start investing and seeing that team more. And that is to go to what Riss mentioned. I went to the 2020 draft and got to meet her and meet the squadron in person. And that was really fun. Mm-hmm. And so from then on, it kind of blew up from there.
All right. And so you've mentioned the squadron as well, which is a supporter group for, is it both DC teams or is it?
Just the spirit.
The spirit, yeah.
And this is unique, right? We don't have a lot of Black supporter groups in women's soccer in this country for sure. So what led y'all to do Rose Room specifically? And you can tie in like what's happening in the culture there too. But like, what made you start that and what goes into that?
I'll kind of let Doug get into it because he is the one who really roped me in.
Yeah,
he really roped me into Rose.
He was a chef in the kitchen cooking it up.
Absolutely.
Sure. So it's myself and my best friend, Aaron Bland, who got together. We had kicked around an idea of doing a new supporter group for DC United back in 2018. But then once we saw where the spirit were headed to and we were kicking around ideas, we thought, let's do both teams. Let's do it that way. A lot of it was that we got major inspiration from Blackfires, from Featherstone Flamingos out over in Madison. Mm. Tiger supporter group in Los Angeles, they're a great bunch too. Like we kind of got a lot of inspiration from all those crews. And we just thought, why not do that here? Like in this town, are you kidding me? So we kind of were cooking that idea for roughly half a year plus. It was summer 2020 when we kicked that around really seriously. And then that's when I roped in Riss and other folks and I think we went public with it February 2021, if I remember wrong. Yeah, it's about a year now. Actually, now that I think about it, yeah, it's about a year since we formed.
About a year to the date.
Wow.
We gotta play anniversary at some point. Okay.
Yeah. I'm also gonna add, Aaron is the one that had it specifically in February because he wanted to get it out rolling during Black History Month. And when he pushed that, I was like, oh shit, yes, yeah, let's fucking do it.
All right. And how, since it is a year, like what you know, not going into much detail, but like what's it been like to have like a Black supporter group or supporter group of color, particularly with your team winning this season? Like, what has that experience been like? And like not being able to go to games with, you know, COVID restrictions and things like that. And like, what's that been like for the soccer culture in your city?
It's been really exciting. You know, I was not like really aware of any other Black supporter groups to begin with, and I was just like kind of hanging out with the squadron. And now that we have Rose Room, it's been really eye-opening to see how a lot of people are really excited about it, especially with the spirit and just having them win. And all that we've been through this year, we kind of chose a really great time to to debut ourselves.
Well, hey, listen.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, kind of the same things that Chris and Doug are saying. And truly, that's how, I mean, we all met. We're all advocates for ourselves and, you know, Black people, of course. So it just made sense. I mean, me and Doug connected and, you know, we've been brothers ever since. Doug stands for all the same things that I stand for, and it was just something meant to be. And of course, let me not exclude risk, because
you're good.
it's a great feeling just to, you know, to have a place where we can be our full selves, you know, in support of each other. And like we said, there's not too many groups out there. So just to have a group dedicated to us, really, it means a lot, stands out. And we're starting here, but we're trying to take it worldwide. We're trying to go all over with it. So
yeah. And then to add to that, like, I didn't know a lot of POCs who were into soccer. And having Rose Room kind of just open it up, like, I know you guys now, I know Ebony. So it's kind of just like been a very eye opener to see how many people actually love women's soccer.
Mm. Oh, the Ebony Christmas. I had to say that.
Ebony Christmas.
There's only one. Yo.
The Ebony Christmas.
Hold on, I was gonna shout her out.
To Ebony.
Shout out to Ebony.
Oh, she's great. Oh my God. Yeah, that was kind of my, I mean, that was kind of the ultimate goal for the end of it. There are a lot of people that didn't even know the concept of this kind of group existing. A lot of people couldn't conceive of it, but I just thought, why not? And that was kind of the ultimate dream, is just like bringing these folks together, connecting everybody, and feeling a little bit more support for both supporters, staff, and players. Because that's probably one of the most important things to me, is the fact that we're, especially on the spirit, we were absolutely able to support players on that team, especially through this year.
Mm. Word. So effectively, it's so important to have this kind of group, because like in a sense of you being able to see Black people of color congregated building community, you know, whether you're a fan, player, staff, investor, whatever, within the space, like, you know, it's important to be able to feel seen. So like you mentioned players, what has it been like connecting with players and leadership in the process? Particularly Black players.
Riz should answer this one, because I know she's at a very special bond here.
Yes.
Sore spot.
We'll get you a jersey.
we'll get you a jersey. So when we first kind of started talking to our front office reps, this was back when Lindsay Behrens was still in charge. Tegan actually had reached out to front office and asked to be a part of talks within the supporter groups, And she specifically mentioned that she wanted to work with Rose Room in particular. And that kind of just like that relationship built over the entire season. And we all became very close. I will say I probably talk to Tegan maybe like once or twice a week now, even though she got traded to San Diego. But we grew a really, really, really strong bond with Tegan. And that was kind of really special because you don't really get to talk to players like that. And for her to even just to say that she wanted to work with us was something in of itself.
Nice. Shout out to Tegan McGrady, man.
Shout out to Tegan.
She's a real one. Absolutely. She's a real one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to follow up on what Riss is saying, I had more of a bond with the front office. As Sky and Silves know, and now everybody else knows, I'm in a master's program for sports analytics and management. This is no kind of plug in anyway, just saying what
well,
it is.
Well, I'll so do it. Hire Devin. Sorry, go ahead.
Other way. Hey, hey, like, hire Devin.
I'll change your name. I'll change the Twitter name. Hire Devin.
So yeah, I had a close connection with the front office as well, Lindsay, as Riss had said, and then also Nicole Hawkins.
Shout out to Nicole.
Who are no longer with the team anymore, but they were as Riss and Doug said, they were both very supportive, and anything that they could do to help out in any way was great. So. It's great to have that kind of support and just to know the team supported it as well.
Okay. All right. So like, it's been a heck of a roller coaster ride. Like you said, it was a wild year to choose to start a Black supporter group.
Wild ride.
Like nothing you could have anticipated. Truly.
No. Right. No way.
Never ever.
What happened?
It wasn't on my bingo card. That was okay. Not on my bingo card.
It wasn't like in the backup deck. It wasn't like
Not even in the same fucking galaxy, man.
Hey, man.
Actually, there is a funny story to that. If I can mention here.
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
It is kind of nuts to think about. The day I did the sign incident at Audi Field.
That sign.
That is the first day I also met Devin in person.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's right.
I forgot about this. And even if you actually pull up the Defector article and you see the photo, you can actually see Devin behind the sign. If I remember right, that's the first day I met him in person. And just to have that happen with all of that happening around the Sell the Team sign.
That was a day.
That was a fun day. Yes.
And that was a great day.
Oh,
and that was just so funny because it was so much bigger because they made such a fuss about it. It probably wouldn't have been a big deal if they had just let it be. But egos, man. Like, what can you do? All right, so I mentioned all that to mention, despite all of that, you all also won a championship, right? So what are some of like the highlights or favorite players? We know Tegan obviously has love here. Like what are some of your better moments just from like on the field or like rolling with this team from the jump? Like what did you enjoy?
It was all fun, honestly.
Right. There's not even like a one thing that you can pinpoint.
That's right.
It was all kind of just great.
Solid.
It all kind of the good and the bad kind of flowed together, and it just kind of formed a purpose in a sense. So, you know, on top of all the drama and on top of all the games being suspended, and you know, just making sure that the players knew that we are behind them. We 100% support you guys. Whatever you guys want to do, we 1000% support it. You guys feel like you're not comfortable playing, don't play. And if you guys do want to play, we're going to be cheering for you just as loud. So it's really been a roller coaster, the ups and the downs, but it's, I wouldn't, you know, outside of the events that actually did happen, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Okay. Word.
I feel you.
You ain't got no, y'all don't got no like favorite Shea Butter bombs?
I will mention. Oh,
yeah, I mean, they got the future vote, so probably, yeah.
I will mention the fact, I was so happy when I saw them. I actually ran into Tegan McGrady's parents at Louisville.
Oh, wow.
And they were headed towards there was like an area where the players were headed back to the locker room. And I think a bunch of the parents, families, and friends were all like around that. And I realized I spotted Tegan's parents. Shout out to Willie and Teresa. They're great people.
They're awesome.
Yeah,
your dad's hilarious, man. I've seen him.
Yeah, I recognized when I was like, wait a minute. I just went up to him and he identified himself as Willie. And then I realized, okay, you know, I being one of the co-founders of Rose Room, mentioned all of this. And he was just like, thank you so much for supporting her and this team through all of that. And I made sure to get a photo with them. That was a really incredible moment that day. And I'll never forget it.
Just dope. Hey.
All right. And then also, I will also mention real quick, bumping into Kai McCullough in New York in our flight to Louisville. That was the most wild moment. I was like, because I knew she was going to be there and I had been excited to meet her. I didn't think it was going to happen at fucking LaGuardia of all places.
Yes.
So okay. That was an incredible moment also.
Yeah, Kaya's young the sis. Fam. Yeah, the fam. What a character. We love Kaya.
Yep.
To Kaya.
Everything.
Kaya's also a reason why Rose Room exists in the first place.
True story. I think that's true. That's going to be true for a lot of people. And we're going to keep reminding people that Kaya's the reason a lot of things exist.
Yep.
I'm not going to forget Kaya.
Never.
We will make sure Kaya's voice is not erased.
And I guess the last part of this part, just talking about the collective, what are you looking forward to most this season or seasons going forward?
On my end, I'll speak. Definitely just growth. I want everybody to know that we are out here. One, by any front office, we will not be intimidated. And anybody out there that needs to have a voice, that wants to, you know, that feels alone in the soccer world, we are here. So any Black people that want to, or people of color, not even just Black, but any people of color that want to come out, join a game, discover the game that we all, you know, we all love it. And we just want to grow. We want to continue to grow. And that's what I want to see this year.
But for me personally, I know, speaking of front office, I would love for us to still have the same communication that we started off with last year. I know that may look different now because of, you know, shifts in front office, but just to keep that open communication, especially with doing things in the community in DC. So for me personally, that's what I would like to see going forward.
Word. Douglas?
Man, there's so many things rattling in my head. I definitely want to. Okay, really dumb thing. Are we talking about ourselves or the team?
Whatever that looks
whatever.
Like.
Whatever.
All of it?
All of it.
Yes.
Go ahead. Give us a sermon, Dougie.
Oh, man. Nobody needs that. there's just so many things. I want Michelle to finally be the commander of this team.
Once. Absolutely.
Give the keys to Kang.
Please.
Pass that thing to Kang, shouting.
Hashtag pass that thing.
There you go.
I think a lot of things can start moving ahead and start changing across the board with that team and the efforts here locally, if that entire situation can stabilize finally after all of this. And in the case of Rose, this is something we actually discussed on Can I Kick It? Shout out to Yogi.
Yes.
Trying to be good about getting more people involved in these kinds of gatherings, get more voices out there. This is a big reason why we invited Devin onto the show, because it's been Riss and I so much often. We're like, let's get new people in here. And there's definitely people that have been engaging with us and like active, and I'm want to get them more looped in on just any kind of actions or activities like that.
All right.
Heard.
So, hey, this is a good segue our next segment. Pimp My Squad. We might get hit with a copyright infringement. Pimp My Boom 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 Squad.
We'll put some ellipses in there or something. We got it. It's good.
We got it. So you know, like Pimp My Rod, like the, you know, like you got the hoopty. Way back when.
Exhibit. I remember.
Exhibit. Wait, do you mean we're good?
We got it.
Usher driving around in the drop top. What time it was? Never mind.
Oh my God. Wow.
In my squad.
Yes, I do.
You mean the car stops and the rims keep spinning? That's amazing.
Yo, Hey, so yeah, we're going to put some spinners on Washington Spirit. So what does it look like if we pimped our squad for Washington Spirit? So we about to work with y'all, Rosemont Collective, to get y'all perspective in terms of, you know, what does it look like? Why are support groups super important? So first of all, let me see. First off, in terms of making this team, you know, be seen in the city, how do y'all think y'all can like impact, you know, as Rose Room Collective, you know, what do you think, how do you think you could be important in terms of what happens with this team? You know, y'all talked about your relationship with players, how you connected with the front office. What insights do you think could be really important in the power if y'all had free reign to be great? How do you think you can influence the team and what's headed, what's coming for this coming season and more?
Oh, man. That's a hard one.
Is that too complicated? I mean.
That's a Scott question. That's fine. I'm not claiming that one.
First things first, of course, the goal is to give the keys to Michelle Kang. That's what we, I think that's the overflowing cloud that's, you know, hanging over everybody's head. When is this going to be done? When, you know, it seems every other week there's some new hiccup. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we all just as a collective just want it to be done and over with. And I think once, you know, once everybody has that peace, then, you know, things can kind of slowly start working itself out. I think that's the first, you know, that's definitely the first thing I want to see. And
I think that's a hiccup for a lot of things, because we can't really get a lot of stuff done or asked to do things because we still have this hiccup of who's really in charge.
So let's talk about it. Let's look at it from this approach. So let's say Kang is in charge of the choo-choo train, right? What does it look like? What do you think from a supporters group standpoint? Because I know a lot of people don't know what supporter groups are and how powerful they could be. What would you like from a healthy standpoint, being able as Black supporter group, people of color supporter group, to be able to connect back with the front office, players, and staff? What's y'all's vision if you don't have the foolishness going on and it's a ideal situation?
I kind of have a subtraction or an addition by subtraction answer to all of that, which is basically, can we just get rid of every old ass white dude in that organization, for the love of God? That's really it for me.
It's a little too white.
Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm just like, looking at what happened with that organization, it's like, yeah, all the old white dudes are the ones that caused all of this hellscape.
Right.
Get them the fuck out of here.
Okay, so then,
because they're the barrier to what you're trying to do, essentially.
Right. So if you did have the more diversity, you got these problematic people out, what does it look like in being able to correspond back and forth with front office, players, and staff as a supporter group, I guess?
I mean, I think, you know, we all just want open and honest communication. It would be, you know, constant communication between the front office and the supporter group. You know, like you said, supporter groups have a lot of influence and, you know, can affect many things. I mean, just as we see with this situation, I mean, there's a lot of people on the fence about renewing their season tickets because, you know, because of everything that's going on. So, you know, once that's all clear, you know, I guess just clear and honest communication going forward. This is, you know, I think Doug was kind of talking about this the other day. Have a sit down with the supporters group and just talk it out. You know, what can we do for you? How, you know, what have you done for me lately? Is that kind of, you know, situation. Just talk it out and how can we help each other be the best that we can be, that we can be the best supporter group and help you guys be the best front office support team that you guys can be as well. So, yeah.
I think one thing, or sorry.
Go ahead. I was about to say, what have you done for me lately? Sorry, I went through my head.
Mine did.
I was also going to add, this was, so we had a pretty good relationship also with the previous social admin of the team accounts. Mm. And they were all pretty good about listening to us. And more specifically, we told them, don't do this certain foolishness
all the
time. And they were very good about taking our feedback on that. And ideally we can, in an ideal world, we get that line of communication back.
Okay.
Once this whole situation stabilizes and we can tell them, hey, you know, here's some do's and don'ts when it comes to the social channels, because there have been some bad things done by other teams before and other admins directly. Lord Jesus. I'm not going to name names, but I think we all know.
You don't have to. I mean, I think that's really what we want, is to keep our line of communication open. Like Doug said, we did have a really good open line of communication last year. They did ask us a lot of things like, what do you want to see? Specifically jerseys, but we won't really get into that.
We will save that ammunition for later.
I'll save that ammunition for later, but we did have some really open communication, and that's a testament to Lindsay. So shout out to Lindsay. But yeah, just you know, open communication.
Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, I'll just very quick shout out to Brianna Wise, who was the previous admin of the team. She's great. She left the team sometime last year. She is doing things with the Boston Red Sox, man. She's killing it over there.
All right. Making that Fenway group money. I feel you.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's dope. And again, you all have such a unique situation with everything that's happened. And I agree. Pass that thing to Kang immediately. Yesterday, actually, or the day before that. So you all have talked about obviously coming to the sport at different times and in different ways. DC is a sports town, right? It's a four sport town, as they would say. And if you count soccer, more than that. But how do you envision using Rose Room, like using your connects, power, whatever you want to call it, as a supporter group to get more of the DC community or more of in the surrounding area, DMV we'll say, into the spirit? Like, what does it look like to do like that community outreach or help in order to get more, you know, support and also getting the team more involved in the community?
It's really just being the main advocate for the spirit. The results speak for themselves, obviously, but you know, just getting people to understand the power and the potential in women's soccer and just how it's taken over. And really just being the advocate for that and just showing how just the power of women's soccer. We're all here because we love women's soccer. And it's not secondary anymore. So women's soccer is becoming the main product. And really just, as I keep saying, just being an advocate for that. And, you know, anybody that wants to learn, we can, you know, we can be that midpoint, that communication, that I don't know the word I'm thinking of right now, that mid person, but
the mediary, the
I want to say liaison. Is that
works
that,
too? Yeah, I think
liaison. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's a between. You can make up a word. You make up a word.
I'm studying for a master's degree. You know, words are.
Oh, I work in the academy. It doesn't matter.
But yeah, but being that middle person between the team and us, and just anybody that wants to find out, that wants to learn, and we can definitely teach. So
okay. Oh, I was gonna say, I'm piggybacking back on that. We will get into the marketing branding extensively in the next segment after the break. But what do y'all think should be the marketing and branding approach? Because I've seen teams take the approach of, you know, we're going to cater to the white families in the suburbs, you know. Mm. Everybody on this phone call is not a white family in the suburbs.
No.
Not even close.
No.
So what should the marketing and branding approach be to get more people that look like us in the DMV? What do y'all think?
There's one really obvious answer to me, and that's put Trinity Rodman on everything.
Million dollar player, Trinity Rodman. Yes.
Put her on everything. Put her on billboards.
With the diamond on the tooth.
Put her on. Put her
that
everywhere.
Makes me so happy. I'm
Thank
sorry.
You, Brian.
Like,
I think that's smart. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, just put her everywhere. Like, genuinely, the living here, I've seen like bus ads and TV spots and social stuff for DC United, and I'm kind of like, that can be done, and people would be receptive to that at across town. I also would love to personally see more of a partnership with the women's sports organization that I think is actually like the meets the perfect values of who the city is, and that's the Mystics.
Let's freaking go.
We're not talking about the Mystics right now because y'all got the number one pick, and I'm bitter about it.
That's like my second team in the background. Okay,
future Washington Mystic Ryan Howard.
I'm a Blue Hen till I die, so EDD's my girl. So I always care. I'll follow her wherever she goes. But like, yeah,
Alicia Clark.
But yeah, that team's already loaded. And oh, by the way,
I'm not minding.
I know you're not. It's the rest of us in this league that gotta worry about.
I'm also very biased because I just met Natasha Cloud a couple of weeks ago, and she's the greatest human being.
She seems like everything she's cracked up. She seems amazing. And with doing with Athletes Unlimited and all of that other stuff, like, it's really just dope and power couple alert for her. And
and that's that. She reflects, I think, what I would love to see have that equivalent at the Spirit down the line.
Okay.
All right. I agree, though. Trinity is not just going to be a star on your squad. She's probably the future star of the sport, period. And so why wouldn't you take advantage of that? I agree. And it's simple. It's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with that. And the truth of the matter is you don't have a lot of Black faces on that team for any number of reasons. Shout out to who's our newest draftee? Alexander.
Alexander.
Thank you.
Tanaya.
Who seems lit. I've seen some highlights and some other stuff. I've seen we ripped off our jersey and had a Black Lives Matter shirt underneath or something along those lines. So
She bought that life.
She got the energy. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, she had an entire stop police brutality shirt under her
jersey.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
And her whole story is absolutely wild, and I would absolutely recommend people go check out her Instagram because she posted a video about her whole background on that, and I'm just like, wow, she's here, hell yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's a baller, so you know, best of both worlds.
I think she came up in the Arsenal camp. I just wanted to throw that in there.
There it is. They probably could use her right about now if we're keeping it a book.
Word.
True. Bloop, bloop, bloop. I'm 37. Listen, we got a game tomorrow.
I thought you said it was break. Was it break time?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. And before we have people rage quit this pod, we about to take a little short little break because we got to pay some bills. We gonna give you a little preview of things. But when we come back, we're going to get your fist right.
Yes.
And we're going to dig deep into Black soccer culture and what it looks like when the DMV and Black people, woo, and people of color and everybody get litty in the city and do that thing. We'll get, hey, you this right. And then we're going to do some missing riffs and we're going to do all kinds of things. All right. We'll be right back.
This week of the Florida Crunch Soccer Podcast for us, by us, talk about intersection of Black culture and soccer. Got a special episode for you guys this week. We are be joined by noted comedian Kev on stage. We'll be talking about his low-key soccer fandom, what got him into the game, and more in Two Up and Two Down. So join me and the rest of Cultureverse on your favorite podcast apps and the FTC UTD YouTube channel and at 2centsfc.com. Shit.